Turn with us, if you would, to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 1. Those of you who have been with us the last four Sunday nights, you know that we have been preaching a series of messages from the book of Revelation. We have entitled this series, Encouragement from the Revelation. And what we tried to do is we tried to show you that this book is not a book to be afraid of, but it's actually a book of encouragement if you're born again, if you're a Christian. It encourages you. Now, tonight, this is the last one, and I thought last week was going to be the last one, but God just wouldn't let me quit until I got this one in. I want to talk to you about what I believe is the greatest encouragement of all from the book of Revelation. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1, Revelation chapter 1. And the Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you again for the privilege and joy of gathering together in sweet fellowship around thy word. God, how I thank you, Father, for each and every one who has come this way tonight. God, Lord, I pray your blessings of this service. I pray, Father, that you will take control. Lord, you know my weaknesses, you know my failures. You know, God, the limitations that I have, God, in this body of flesh. And I pray, Father, you might overcome them all tonight. God, that thy Spirit might have his way. God, as I preach, I pray, Lord, you'll fill me. God, that you'll give me the words, that you'll give me clarity of speech. I pray, Father, that thy will be done tonight in every heart that's here. God, may we leave this house encouraged. May we leave this house rejoicing. May we leave this house praising you, God, for all that thou hast done, that all you are doing, and God, for all that you are going to do. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we do pray. Amen. I want to draw your attention tonight to verse 1. Because in this verse, beloved, we see perhaps the greatest encouragement of all. And that's what we've been talking about. The greatest encouragement of all. In verse 1, it says, the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And we talked about that last week. But notice, beloved, this statement. To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Folks, that line is such a great encouragement to we who are born again. It's addressed to his servants. Folks, that's you and I. Amen? That's everyone who's born again. You could put your name there. You could read this to show unto Cabby, to show unto Martha. You could put your name there to show unto Kim, to show unto Deborah. Because He is talking, beloved, especially to you and I. You know what that says to me? That says, beloved, that God sees the mess that we're in. He sees the mess that we're having to contend with in this world. Beloved, He's aware of what's going on. He's aware. And He loves us and cares enough about us that God Almighty, beloved, issues an encouragement to in these troubled times, especially for us. For us. Don't you ever, ever think that God doesn't care about you or what you are going through. Because, folks, He does. He does. Now, somebody says, preacher, I see that. I see that this encouragement is addressed to me. But, preacher, where is the encouragement in this verse? Folks, now listen very carefully. It's the encouragement that all the bad things that we are going to see in Revelation, God's going to make them good things. God's going to make... Let me say that again. Beloved, all the bad things that we are going to see in Revelation are God is going to change them or use them for good. For good. Boy, that's encouraging. Amen? Beloved, the first encouragement I see is that this is all of Revelation is a mapped out plan. It's all God's plan. It's all God's plan. Where do you see that? Listen, the Lord is about to show John, beloved, things which must shortly come to pass. Things, beloved, that God has planned. Not yesterday, but beloved, God has planned from the very beginning. From the very beginning. Things that God has prophesied. Oh, you know, you read this book and it may, beloved, all seem chaotic to you. And folks, things aren't always as they seem, are they? They aren't always as they seem. Because behind the seemingly chaos, there is a plan, beloved, that is full of the wisdom, full of the holiness, full of the righteousness of God. Of God. A plan. A plan, beloved, that will do away with the mess that the church is in and make it right. A plan that will do away, beloved, with the mess that human government has made and make it right. A plan, beloved, that will do away with the mess that an unbelieving world has caused, beloved. A plan that God, a plan that will straighten out the physical and the emotional and the spiritual mess that we as believers, beloved, are in from the presence of sin and bring us joy unspeakable and full of glory. A plan. Oh, what a plan, what a plan the Lord has. Now tell me, doesn't that thrill your soul? Don't it thrill your soul, beloved? God, and encourage you to know that God is moving and working everything according to His magnificent plan. His magnificent plan. Listen, that means all the mess we see around us right now, all the bad things, beloved, that we are witnessing are God's going to use them for good. Because, beloved, they are used by God to execute His righteous plan. Folks, how can you lose like that? Amen? When even the bad things God uses for good. For those who love Him. Amen? All right. Folks, You can't lose. We look at the governments of this world. And beloved, everywhere we look, there's corruption. In Europe, Israel, all in America, all over the world, we see corrupt governments. Beloved, we see them moving towards socialism, communism. Yeah, we see them moving, beloved, toward a one world government. And it breaks our hearts. Breaks our hearts because we know that this is evil. We know, beloved, that this is sin. We know that this is destructive. And we think to ourselves, oh, that's so bad. That's so anti-Bible and anti-God. But beloved, it's bad that God is going to use for good. For good. It's good because God is using it to bring about His plan. His plan. We look, beloved, at the mess the church is in today. The false doctrines. The falling away. The heresies that are jumping up around us. The worldliness in the church. The apathy in the church. It breaks our heart. Breaks our heart, beloved. This isn't what God intended for the church to be. And you know it breaks the heart of the Lord Himself. It breaks His heart. Oh, but though it's bad, our Lord, beloved, will take the black bad and He's going to make it good. And He's going to use it to magnify His glory. Beloved, when He comes for His church, and only those who are truly born again will be raptured. And beloved, those who profess Him but don't possess Him are going to be left behind. Going to be left behind. See, it's all His plan. All those who are trusting in religion instead of Jesus, or trusting in church membership instead of Jesus, or trusting in works instead of Jesus, yet they call themselves Christians. They're going to be left behind. They're going to be left behind. We look at the mess, beloved, this unbelieving world has made by rejecting Jesus. We see the sin. We see the violence. We see the ungodliness. We see the iniquity. We see the hurt and the pain that it causes. And it's bad. It's bad. And our righteous souls, beloved, cringe at what is going on in this world. And so does, beloved, a holy, righteous God. It's all part of God's plan. You see, God, beloved, uses that, beloved, to fill the cup of iniquity. Because it's only then that God will bring it all to an end. Only then, beloved, that Jesus will return to tread the winepress of the wrath of God. A cup of iniquity has got to be full. What we're seeing, beloved, is helping to fill that cup. You read the book of Revelation, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you. You see the mess that we're in. Beloved, we see what, as believers, I mean spiritually, as we talked about last week, and emotionally, as we talked about last week, and physically, as we talked about last week, all because of the presence of sin. And it's bad, beloved. It's bad to hurt. It's bad to cry. It's bad to get sick. It's bad to struggle, beloved, like we have to do sometimes. It's bad, beloved. The presence of sin afflicts us so. It's bad. Oh, but it must be. It must be for a while, beloved. For such, beloved, is this sin-cursed world that we live on. It must be for a while. Yet all we endure as believers, listen to me, God uses. He uses, beloved, to strengthen us, to make us stronger, to make us better, to make us wiser. He uses these things, beloved, that afflict us to make us desire Him more. You know, if we never got sick and we had no troubles and no trials and no worries, we wouldn't want to go to heaven, would we? Would we be honest? We wouldn't want to go to heaven. You see, these things down here make us long for it, amen? Makes us desire it. Well, listen, beloved, it makes us depend on God more. We wouldn't depend on God if we didn't have these things. We'd be depending on ourselves. Beloved, it makes us desire heaven more. And we do it and will desire it, beloved, more and more until our faith will end inside. Whoa! What a day that's been. How much more precious, how much more glorious, and how much more beautiful will heaven be to us, will Jesus be to us, when we, beloved, are finally there with Him face to face after suffering on this earth. See, all we see around us, that's so bad, all that we see in Revelation, that's so bad, beloved, God is using. He's using, beloved, in His plan. He's using it, beloved, by using the bad for good. Now somebody says, teacher, are you saying that all this evil and sin and hurt and death is pleasing to God? No, absolutely not. Sin and pain and death is never pleasing to God. It's not God's will that any should perish. Amen? Well, preacher, are you saying that God is creating all this evil and sin and hurt to fulfill His plan? No. God forbid that we should think such a thing about God. God, beloved, would never create evil for any purpose. What I'm saying is this. God made the angels. He gave them a free will to choose. When God made man, He gave them a free will to choose. And beloved, the angels chose to rebel against God. And so did man. Folks, before God created them perfect, listen to me. God knew what they would choose. He knew what they would choose. He knew that they would choose sin and rebellion. So the Godhead formulated a plan to use their evil for His purpose and for His glory, and to use it for the good of all who would believe. Folks, we see that plan unfold all through the Bible. But here in the book of Revelation, we see the culmination of it all. And it comes to a close so fast, so quick. And all we can say as we read this book, beloved, is wow. Wow. What a plan God has. And what an encouragement that is. What an encouragement. Not only that, does this verse reveal that God has a plan? But beloved, it also is telling us that it all is preparing the way for Jesus to come and set up His kingdom. That's what it's all about. Folks, all the bad we see happening around us is in preparation, now get me, for the tribulation. And beloved, all that we see that will happen in the tribulation is in fact, beloved, preparing the way for Jesus to return and take control. That's what it's for. So again, beloved, that which seems bad to us, God uses for good. God uses for good. How many times? I'm going to have to sit down and have a talk with Candy. Because she gets into my sermons every Sunday morning in Sunday school. Where's she at? There she is. She got into this morning, and I held my breath. How many times have Christians prayed over the centuries, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Folks, that's been prayed, I would dare say, trillions of times since Jesus walked this earth. Folks, that's a prayer, listen, that will be answered. It will be answered. Revelation 1:1, it says, to show you things that must shortly come to pass. And what do we see in this book? We see Jesus coming, setting up His kingdom, and beloved, God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. Why must it come to pass? The Bible says must. Why must it come to pass? Because over and over and over it's been prophesied by God in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 14. Ezekiel talks about it. Jeremiah talks about it. Isaiah, turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah 2, listen to verses 2 through 4. And it shall come to pass. Now this was written 700 years before Jesus. 700 years, I think, about it. And it came to pass in the last days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. All nations shall flow into it, and many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any. Look over in Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9. Verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgments and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform. See, it's prophesied. And all this is just a sampling. There are so many verses. And not only that, not only is it prophesied, but God promised Israel that Messiah of the lineage of David would sit on the throne of David and rule this earth. So you got, beloved, the prophecies of God, which must come to pass. You've got the promise of God, which must surely come to pass. But before, beloved, the Lord returns and sets up that kingdom, the earth has got to be prepared. It's got to be prepared. The hearts of men have got to be prepared. The enemies of God must be defeated, and the earth must be purged of sin before that kingdom is set. Folks, all this preparation for the king happens in chapter 6 through 19 of the book of Revelation, what we call the tribulation. It happens, beloved, through the seal judgments. It happens through the trumpet judgment. It happens through the vial judgment. It happens through great celestial calamities that fall on the earth. It happens, beloved, through characters and events like the appearance of Antichrist, like Him declaring, desecrating the temple, like Him declaring Himself to be God. It happens, beloved, from through the death of multiplied millions upon millions of unbelievers. Finally, it happens through the return of Christ. When He comes, beloved, in His glory and destroys the armies of earth who fight against Him, then then he will, beloved, take the Antichrist and the false prophet and cast them into the lake of fire. And he'll bind that old serpent, the devil, and he'll cast him into the bottomless pit, and he will judge the nation. Then he will sit upon the throne of David and rule for 1,000 years on earth. Now, many of those things seem terrible to me. Antichrist ruling the world, doesn't that just strike you, in your heart? Antichrist, beloved, controlling the world, the plagues, the judgments that fall, the death, the multiplied multitude, the ungodliness and wickedness that will be present on this earth. Oh, but it's all preparing this world for Jesus to return and reign as was prophesied, as was promised. That, folks, that is a good thing. Amen? That's a glorious thing. It's a wonderful thing. The answer to trillions of prayers will be fulfilled. Amen? Will be fulfilled. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, what an encouragement. As we see the day approaching, all we're seeing right now, all the bad is preparing this world for the tribulation. And all that we see happen in Revelation in the tribulation, all the bad is God's way of preparing this world for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Awesome. Also, this verse occurs by revealing that these things must, what's the next word? Shortly come to pass. Boy, is that an encouragement. Must shortly come to pass. Now, I know what you're thinking. Preacher, shortly. Come on, preacher. It's been 2,000 years since God revealed this to John. Preacher, that's a long time. Folks, it's long to us, maybe. But it's not long to God. It's not long to God. And this is the Lord who's revealing this. Amen? Who's revealing this. Turn in your Bible, 2 Peter. I'll show you something. Amazing verses. 2 Peter. Chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. You probably read it. I wonder if you stopped and really thought about it. Look at what it says. Verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, that is a strange thing to say. But beloved, it reveals something to us about God that we need to understand. God is outside this dimension of time. He is in eternity. Amen? Folks, to God, it's been 2 days since He gave this to John. 2 days. Why do you say that? 1,000 years. It's been 2,000 years to us. 1,000 years since the day to God. It's been 2 days since God gave this to John. Since He gave it to John. A short time to God. But if you want to reckon this in man's time, we are almost 2,000 years closer to this coming to pass than John was. So guess what? It's close. It's close. It's close. 2,000 years closer than John was. If you take the formula that Peter gives us and you apply this to biblical time, and I believe biblical time is the only true time. Beloved, this world was created about, according to the Bible, about 6,000 years ago, give or take. 6,000 years ago. So how long has it been since God created Adam in the garden? How long? 6 days to God. 6 days to God since He created Adam. Been 6,000 years to us, but 6 days to God. Now, when God created the earth and all that is, beloved, it took Him 6 literal 24-hour days to create it. Amen? On the seventh day, what did God do? He rested. He rested. Everybody gets a star. He rested. Now get this. To God, this earth has been, beloved, it's been 6 days. This earth's been here 6 days by God's reckoning. Amen? 6,000 years to us. So what is it time for? It's time for a day of rest. A seventh day of rest. Folks, that's what the millennium is. It's the day of rest for God's creation. It's the day of rest. And a day to God is how long? 1,000 years. And how long does the millennium last? 1,000 years. So, beloved, we are if we are in the sixth day since creation, the things in Revelation must be coming shortly. Shortly. And not only does Peter give us this equation, but the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, they do, and the Essenes in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they do. And they all say that, beloved, we are in that sixth day and the seventh day is almost upon. The millennium. The millennium. And so does the Lord here in Revelation 1:1. And so does Revelation 22:20. Surely I come quickly. And sure, and I noticed as I was reading the text, Paul says the day, excuse me, John says the day is what? At hand. At hand. Folks, it's no accident that we are seeing so many things converging together at one time. Like never before in the history. I mean, we're seeing governments going crazy. Going crazy. We're seeing people, beloved, doing and saying things that we never dreamed they would do or say. It's no accident, beloved, that we are on the very verge of a one-world government. It's no accident, beloved, that people in the church are falling away. It's no accident that the weather is acting, beloved, unbelievably all over the world. And that earthquakes are happening, beloved, so quickly. One after the other, all over the world. No accident. Because the time is short when all the things in Revelation will, beloved, come to pass. Will come to pass. Now you may say, oh, that's bad. That's bad. No. That's good. That's good. Because shortly, we're going to be raptured away. Whoa! Shortly, beloved, the Lord is going to purge this earth. Shortly, He's going to return and put, beloved, away in evil and sin. And He's going to set up His throne and we will reign with Him. Oh, listen. Shortly, beloved, we're going to see our Savior face to face. Shortly, we're going to see loved ones, beloved, who have gone on before us. Shortly, we're going to have those glorified bodies. shortly, Satan's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Shortly, that new Jerusalem is coming down out of heaven, beloved, as a bride adorned for her husband. And we're going to enjoy, beloved, the pleasures and of heaven forever and ever and ever. Shortly. I don't know about you. Folks, that's an encouragement to me. That's an encouragement. How much longer? See, we don't have very much longer to suffer. Amen. We don't have very much longer to cry. We don't have very much longer, beloved, to yearn for loved ones who have gone home because we're going to see them again. We don't have much longer. This thing of getting sick, of dying physically, not much longer. Not much longer. Sure. These things will shine. I want you to value me as your cup. What is the cup? What is it? Word of God never fails to amaze you. Never fails. Yet sometimes, beloved, we walk around like our bulldog died. Here we are on the verge of grace. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me say, we all ought to be encouraged. We all ought to be encouraged. At the same time, we ought to remember that because it's short, and we've got little time to do the work God's called us to do. We got to be added, folks. We got to be fervent. We got to be zealous about doing the word, being the witness, telling people about Jesus. It's the time. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for all the world. And I thank you so much for this book of Revelation that you gave to John. Give to us. God, how it fixes us as we look around and see all this thing. And we know, Father, from the book of Revelation where it's all headed. God, the book of Revelation encourages us. God, it makes us worship. How we thank you. How we thank you. Father, as we give this information, there's something here. We've got love with your life. God, I know we asked you to come and pray for them this morning. Father, we haven't prayed enough. We haven't prayed enough. We need to keep knocking. As Kathy talked about this morning, we need to keep knocking. We need to keep knocking. Father, I pray. Pray, God, that you fill every heart here with encouragement. God, people will come just to praise you. Just to thank you. Father, we are on the winning side. We have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And to thee be all praise and all glory. Have you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed, would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? We invite you to come for whatever reason, whatever need you have, won't you come? You're here tonight and you're not saved. Oh, what a good night. To know the Lord, to come to Him, whatever that need is, We invite you to come. We invite you. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 of you. Won't you come? Maybe see His bowed eyes closed. Maybe you're here tonight, and I have to ask this. You never know what's on a person's mind. You don't know that He's your Lord and Savior. You don't know that if you died right now, Jesus would come. You'd go to meet Him. We'll show you how. We'll pray with you and for you. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer.